Test, test, test. All right. Oh, that's a little hot.
Oh, thanks.
It's a little hot. Guest today, Stephen. Stephen Malvin, we're rolling, dude.
Whoa.
How do you feel?
Wonderful.
I'm a little hot. I can't get my levels right. Stephen, where are your levels at?
My levels are pretty good, I think.
Like emotionally or like verbal?
All of it. All of it.
All right. So, yeah, the guest today on the Eric Lang Show, Stephen Malvin. Stephen, I feel like a lot of people probably just know everything already about you. Do you think? There's some things people don't know about you. You and I kind of stand for the same thing, would you say?
Sure. In what area? what part of our lives?
Just like, the dark side of golf.
Yeah.
You have a company and you have a brand called Malvin Golf.
Yes.
That's how people will know you.
Yeah.
But you're kind of like a secret behind it. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't know, you know, like you or something. You're not the brand. The name is the brand.
So I guess there's two ways you could do it, right? You can have you be the brand, like yourself, or you can the brand
like?
Be the brand. Yeah, there's two ways of doing it. But yeah, doing the same thing, I think that there's what you're doing is great, and it's attracting new people, and it's showing people how authentic and awesome golf is on even more, you know, bizarre ways than I ever even thought of.
Right. You mean, are you referring to Adventures in Golf?
Yeah.
Right.
Just
it's very bizarre.
It's very bizarre, right? Which is really good. And anything to interest new people and get people excited about the dying sport of
It's not
golf.
Dying. It's not dying. We got coffee. You didn't want a coffee?
I'll take one.
Amira brought coffee. Thank you.
Sure. A little sugar.
Guys, I got to just start off with I fucked up again. No paleo cookies. I'm sorry.
Two days in a row.
Yeah. but why do you say it's dying, Stephen?
I think it's dying. Just let alone, it's not dying. There's a massive room for opportunity to grow the game. Right.
Right.
It hasn't been growing, or if it has, it's just been trying to catch up to massive, you know, let down in audiences and such.
Right.
The last time golf was really big, you know, is Tiger Woods.
Right.
Right. And so that's one golfer, one person, you know, putting a massive amount of gasoline on the fire and turning up the game of golf. Where what happened then when Tiger was winning every week and that dominance and all of that, like, so I feel like if someone doesn't start helping more and we're all waiting for the next Tiger, it's going to be another 30 years of letdown. And I don't think that any of the players now on tour or any of the ones that are coming are going to do what he did.
It's almost impossible.
It's impossible.
It would be, they would need to be some new race. They would need 100%. To be better than Tiger and
more angry,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Like all of that.
They would just need to be more of everything. Mm-hmm. Like they would almost need to be like a John Daly type polarizing character. That's like, just beyond better than golf.
Yes.
Like a Grand Slam at 19.
Yeah. Or being really, really, really good at golf and winning tournaments and Grand Slam and all that, and having like a tattoo across their Adam's apple and come out onto the putting green in Augusta and like, you know, right. Fucking robes and flats.
Well, this new thing with the walk-on music that's starting soon. Do you think that's going to help bring in a younger crowd or?
No, I think that.
That's like a Band-Aid.
It's just not going to work. I don't see anyone on anything I'm looking at from big brands or from media companies or people who sit in boardrooms and say, like, we got to diversify the game. We got to get the game younger. We got to do this. Like, you know, the original tee programs and all of these things, that's great, right? It gets kids decent at golf at a really young age when it's an easy time to get good at it. But a lot of them are going to do what a lot of other kids do is quit when they're like 16, 17, and then pick it back up at 33, like I did.
Same
so
way.
That's what's going to happen,
right.
Right? It's their parents can make them do it only for so long.
Right.
And then when they dip, it doesn't help anything when they leave.
Right.
So it's like, how do you make them not leave? And I don't know if that's, I don't know how it's going to be done 100%. I'm wake up every day and think about it and just, you know, like, yeah.
Interesting.
In running this business and like sticking to just growing the game and thinking of like, how can we do it? And also it's like, you know, no one likes an easy competition. So like, I want to try to do something for the next 20 years of my life that's hard.
Right.
It's very difficult. So you could wake up every day and you could wake up every night in the middle of the night and fucking worry about it too, because there's a lot to worry about. So it's not dead. It's not dying. I think it's just, it needs to be rethought through. Like seeing you at Wilshire, like that's just like a huge opportunity blown.
What do you mean?
There was very little people there.
He's referring to, we went to the LPGA this weekend and we were watching. And what was the opportunity you saw missed?
Way more people.
Right.
Like where are people?
Mm-hmm.
Where
are my people?
There aren't any.
Where are my fucking people?
Your people weren't there, you know?
I was like, I think unless I had two personalities, there were two of us.
Yeah. I mean.
To zoom out for a second, I think what I'm kind of chuckling on the inside, because I'm reminded of, I feel like the multiple times that Stephen, you and I have been invited to a brand's sort of brainstorming party in exchange for some free shit.
Yeah.
Which, here's my thought on it. Like, I don't think golf is dying. I think golf brands are struggling to make money off of golfers, but I think golf is a, you know, I mean, I've said it, but I think golf is like an experience that we have that you and I will never lose. And in some sense, we are going against the stream, which is what makes, you know, you successful. Do you feel like you're successful?
Yeah. I'm very happy. Have a nice life.
Yeah. So, family. I think like, you know, to say golf is dying, it's like, no. Golf ratings are dying. Golf brands are not selling clubs. Golf apparel companies are struggling to, you know, empty out their warehouses. But like, I don't give a fuck about that. That's not golf. Golf is literally, it's not even a tee time. You know, I almost feel like golf in some sense is like a YouTube video that you can just play over and over and over. It's free. You know, like, do you ever watch old tournaments on YouTube?
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's golf.
Every time our simulator goes down, you know, immediately, that's right. Where we're going. But look, it's like, I think I get, as a father and having a 6-year-old now, Remington, who plays golf, and I do U.S. Kids Golf.
Great kid. I've already corrupted him a little bit, and I feel bad.
Yeah, you've played with him. if something doesn't change, he's going to quit when he's 16 as well.
Interesting.
That's the way I really think about it.
Whoa.
And I don't really want him to.
No.
Because it is awesome. So I don't want to have to like beg him to come play golf with me when he's 20.
Right.
When he's like really good at golf.
Yeah, I'll kick your ass.
Well, like, come kick my ass, please. Just hang out with Pops.
Right, right.
But he's not going to want to.
No.
Because it's not, you know, if Travis Scott and Kendrick Lamar and, you know, Steph Curry are golfing, there'll be more younger people that are going to be more interested in keep golfing rather than stop.
Right.
And, I don't know, man. I love it. I the soul of golf and all that, like, that's what I love. That's what I'm doing it for, to play golf as much as I can, to stay embedded in the golf world as much as I possibly can, not only for me, but for my family. But at the same time, recognizing that there is struggles of getting new people interested in the golf.
Right.
Puts us in a very fun place as a brand, as a retail space, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely the experience, because we met like a while ago. Like, remember we met on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I followed you and I was like, man, this guy's got these dope vintage pics of MJ playing golf. And I remember just being like, that's cool, that's cool, that's cool. And then one of them you tagged in LA and I was like, you're in LA? And I was like, I'm in LA. And then we hung out and then I remember you were like, yeah, I'm going to do a space. I'm going to have a simulator. And I was like, whoa, crazy. Like, what? I never even thought of that. Like, because, you know, the golf industry is so big. You know, a driving range is like a huge fucking piece of land. Or, you know, in Koreatown, it's the top of a building. But, you know, other than like an annoying golf like shop, how many other businesses out there are like yours?
I don't know.
Not like it doesn't matter.
I mean, listen, I started an apparel business. I started making clothes because, so I've been addicted to golf 3 times, basically, like complete golf bug 3 times in my life. Once when I was like 10 or 11 till I was 16. Once when I put myself through art school in Atlanta and I was caddying. So I was playing on Mondays and I could gamble with the other caddies. So then I would practice a couple days a week.
Where was that?
Atlanta.
Nice. Atlanta. A nice course?
Yeah. And I was caddying at Atlanta National, but we would also do like when the tours would come through or different members and things. So I would get to do multiple courses and then I would start playing with other people's courses, blah, blah, blah. So Then I got hired as a art director. I started a media company. I started publishing books and magazines in art school in Atlanta.
Frank, this is Frank.
Frank 151. Yeah.
So, very popular, mostly skate culture or
skate and fashion and art and weirdo shit and right. Just right. bugged out kind of, but starting it before the internet and then publishing digitally, you know, doing different deals. And
it's been like 15 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we've published English, Chinese, Portuguese, Japanese, French.
You can read all those languages?
I can. I can write them. I can write them as well. So got hired as an ad agent at an ad agency in Atlanta, working for Coca-Cola, different big brands like that, and learned like marketing and advertising and stuff based off being an art director coming from a storyteller of a publisher and a graphic designer, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So
that's
what got me to California.
That's the golden road, right? I mean, that's typically you do your editorial so you can make money off of brands, right?
As a publisher, that's how they make money.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. And so you've taken that now and transformed it
into... That's my background.
Right.
My wife also is my partner, and so she started a very successful business. Erica.
We share a similar name.
Yeah, Erica. And so she started a business called The Now. The Now is a massage boutique. There's four of them in LA where she's opened them up, and they're all doing very well. So that whole retail experience plus, like, you know, my understanding of like making products and selling products and marketing products is what combined has got us where we are in a short period of time.
Yeah.
As a brand.
How short would you say? Because I mean, when you were, there was a period of time where you were probably what, for lack of a better analogy, like basically existing, making an online media company just through Instagram, right?
I started the Instagram as a mood board for a company. I had no fucking clue what I was going to do.
No shit. And it was just called Malvin Golf. Next thing
you know, we have 30,000 followers. And
it was just called Malvin Golf because that came to mind.
I didn't know what else. Because the third time I got addicted to golf, I was partying and my wife was like, you know, you're partying. And I said, okay, well, you're pregnant. We're pregnant together. I won't have the baby. I won't drink or party until you have the baby. We're in this together. Boom. So now I'm out of the doghouse immediately. And then I'm like, how the fuck am I going to do this? So I thought 90 AA meetings in 90 days, different things like that, and decided to go play golf 100 days instead. So I was waking up at 5:36 in the morning. I was having breakfast, you know, Pacific Palisades and like,
right,
geeked up about golf. So it took like 4 or 5 days until I'm like doing flyovers on the computer and picking out what clubs. Like I could hit 4 iron here, it'll leave me in 90 yards, just right, being a complete golf nut. So then therefore I started, I kept putting images of my golfing mind on my personal Instagram and everyone's like, stop already. Like, we don't know who Greg Norman is. We don't care.
Amazing.
Put photos of your kids, put photos of art, like Frank, what are you doing?
Right, right.
So I started an Instagram, followed like 1,000 golf Instagrams, right, so that, right, I could just always nerd out and like take in as much golf content as I possibly could through, right, Instagram as a channel.
That's smart.
And then I just started.
That's like, it becomes your TV.
Yeah, it becomes, yeah, your TV for golf. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you get my cell phone and charge it? Thank you. A little ad break. I need to charge my iPhone X.
Well, I'm curious, what were some of the things that immediately either turned you off about golf culture or that you thought needed to be changed as you were sort of learning about the sport?
When I was 15?
Yeah.
My grandmother didn't date golfers. My mom didn't date golfers. My wife didn't date golfers. They all headed to like the football quarterback or the surfer or the, you know, skateboarder guy or the whatever. But it wasn't like the golf guys were getting, you know, lines of cute chicks trying to date them.
No.
In my school.
Still not, I would say.
Couldn't imagine, right? So there was a lot of other things that were more attractive than hitting balls on the driving range for 9 hours a day by myself.
You really rubbing your hands, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's it.
I mean, I think what's interesting is, you know, you like, you talk about all these different demographics, right? Just there, like, and I mean, I feel like, you know, what's, it's like, I don't know, when I walk through an airport and I see someone wearing a golf brand, I feel like I could literally go up and talk to them about anything.
I do.
You do?
I do.
Holy shit. You're my fucking hero, dude.
I do, dude. I mean, look.
What do you do? Do you literally walk up? What's your start? Do you actually do it or you say you do it?
Do you know Mark Wirtz?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a member of my club.
He's a member of your club. His kids went to school with my kids at preschool.
Okay.
So right around the corner from your place on Cahuenga, Wagon right. Wheel, my kids went to school.
I've run into you on that corner.
Yes.
Many mornings.
Dropping the kids off yeah, while you're going to hit balls.
Actually, I go to the gym at that hour. I'm working
and
out.
And then hit balls.
And then I hit a few balls.
Then you putt a couple.
And then I play a quick nine.
So I saw Mark, and he's wearing all white Titleist outfit, like white Titleist pants, white Titleist shirt, proper, right? Put together.
He's super into Japanese culture.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
So I said to him, nice white Titleist pants, you know?
Right.
And he looked at me, he's like, Japan exclusive.
Oh, did he? No shit.
Of course.
Amazing.
And Mark owns American Rag, and he's super fashion.
American Rag is a huge store in the middle of Hollywood. That's like an eBay in person.
Pioneer type fashion guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really wild.
But yeah, I do. I mean, look, like, so going back to getting hooked for the third time. So I started playing every single morning, mm-hmm. and the next thing you know, I'm playing like all the municipal courses with strangers.
Right.
And I'm begging my friends to play, and no one plays.
None of your friends played.
No.
That is a sorry place, you know?
No one from thousands of people that I know.
Yeah. No one played.
Four people, maybe. Right. But it's like, dude, I got to work.
What about you?
Your four texts come back quick.
You have a lot of friends now that play that aren't your typical golfer. Did you not know them yet, or did they not get into golf yet?
Both.
Wow.
Both.
Yeah. So you've in some way grown the game, maybe just by 15 people. just by your local friends.
Who knows? Yeah. Exactly.
Right. How do you try to get people into golf? How do you get them excited about it? What do you say?
Good question.
The only way that I think it's possible to do it is like, I can't do barely anything by myself. I'm just me, right? But if you can leverage like big corporations and their players and their athletes, and you pair, you know, Puma golf guys with Interscope guys that happen to golf at Calabasas, and you put them together and you make content, you show the world that like, wow, these people actually are a little cooler than I thought. And these other people actually like a sport that's a lot cooler than I thought.
You really have to branch two worlds together.
Yeah, and it's like one little brand like ourselves. Like, that's great, you know. But if you need support from corporations that have a lot of money that give a lot to the game. Because everyone's waiting to see how it's going to happen. But, like, I don't know how it's going to happen. I mean, I could sit and wait like everyone else. And, you know, the odds are Remington's out.
Right.
But one person by themselves can't do it, and golf by itself can't do it. So like mixing the worlds of athletes and entertainers with golfers and such is helpful. Justin Bieber golfing and following Bubba around or whatever is more helpful than like Patrick Reed winning the Masters.
Well, I was surprised to read that in the article. Justin Bieber loves golf.
Yeah, like does he really love golf?
He loves it. Just stop great by swing. Great
really?
Swing. Yeah, he loves it for as much as a kid his age is going to love it. Like, he grew up golfing in Canada, for sure.
Right.
You know, and he can hit the ball good, whatever. Does he like that, you know, he's so busy he can't think.
Right.
And find enough time to golf and not have, like, you know, yeah.
How but great is that,
Schoolboy Q golfs every day.
No, I don't even know who that is, but I mean, I'm sure I like him.
Schoolboy
Q. Sure, he's a friend. I think, you know, one of the things, like, you talk about being busy. Like, I've been feeling kind of busy recently. And, like, the idea of just going out there and playing and leaving the phone behind, like, there are very few activities in life where you can actually justify that, you know, putting the phone down. Maybe a movie. But this is, like, well, I think one of the things, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but we've played golf together several times. And the thing I love about playing golf with you is, I mean, among all the other things, you are, like, fully attracted to the flora and the fauna of the golf world. Like you'll hit like you'll make a birdie and then immediately go walk off into the woods and start photographing a wolf or something.
Of course.
You know, and that's something that golf really is. That I can't think of another sport that offers you that. Can you right now? Can you name another sport where you can just be completely in nature like that? I actually can't.
You could be in the red road on the golf course, you know.
What's the red road? What's the red road? The
Native Americans in America had a red road. It was their religion. So the religion was basically animals are coming into your life for different reasons, and they all have a different meaning on what you can take about that or whatever you're thinking in your head. Here's the answer because a hummingbird just flew by the window.
Whoa.
And that means something. Or if a, you know, raccoon ran across the window, it would mean a totally different thing to American Indians, right?
That's scary.
Yeah, so then you start, once you start understanding it and doing it, then it's a constant animals coming into your life and being like, oh my God, this means this, da da da. That question I had earlier, it's answered, right?
Wait, so the animal affinity talk for you is a bit Native American?
100%.
It's like shamanistic.
And growing up and doing like hunting for arrowheads and carving duck decoys. I grew up on a farm in Virginia Beach. Whoa. On the beach.
I don't think I quite realized that.
Yeah, man.
What's the heritage of Melbourne?
It's a good mix.
It's like, it's got to be some French, right?
Yeah, French, English, Italian.
Yeah.
American Indian.
Now, at what point did you decide not to be a movie star? Because I literally feel like you could. You've got the stature, you've got the face, you've got the, you know, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's never too late, you know what I mean? You got any ideas? I'm building up here. I'm building up.
Right. This is your reel.
I'm in LA, you know?
What's your favorite, let's talk Instagram. Like, what's your favorite account to follow?
Eric Anders Lang.
No. I can't follow myself. I
like photo ones like Channing Benjamin and those beautiful.
He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you like the art of the course.
I enjoy that the most, flipping through. But then I obviously love Golf Digest, so I don't have to watch Golf Channel and I can be up on everything.
Amazing. So you just flip through the stories and you're just like, I got it.
I'm watching it all.
Dude, I'm just realizing something. It is really funny because in a way, you are do people describe you as the street style of golf?
I don't think people have any idea.
Right. But it wouldn't be that out of the question for me to say, oh, you're kind of like the urban.
Merging streetwear with golf.
Sure.
I've heard that.
And what's really funny to me is that it seems like the things that you love most about golf are the peace and quiet. It's almost like, you know, that's really interesting. Has that seemed like a sort of a dichotomy to you at all?
Well, more young people care about streetwear than they do about Under Armour fit.
Right.
So it's goes back to our mission, you know? So it's like being on Fairfax, there's a reason to be on Fairfax. And the fact that I have a background of working with thousands of artists and publishing content for myself and for big corporate accounts like Toyota, all of those people are in my network. So that's automatically going to happen.
If you're not familiar, Steven, your shop is on Fairfax in LA, which is a block and a half from Supreme, two blocks from Tyler, the Creator's shop. Mm-hmm. So does it annoy you that his shop is just called
No,
golf?
I love it.
You love it.
I love you it. Love of course it. I love it. I love
you
him.
You were there before.
I
you
love
were there
him.
A year before him.
I've known him since he was 12.
He doesn't play golf, though. I asked him. He said, no, fuck that.
It's a joke on golf.
He told me his email was tylerthecreator@gmail.com, and I'm pretty sure that's not true.
And I remember by that store a month ago. I was about to approach Eric about it. And I realized, nothing to do with golf.
So. Yeah, it's probably it.
But he did a series of videos. Did you see these where he goes to the driving range? And he pretends to be a golf expert with
putting.
And he's his gray hair, you know?
And it's he's the problem is Patrick Reed went on to The Morning Show or something.
Right.
And Ryan dressed up as a golfer.
Oh my goodness. Ryan Seacrest?
Yes.
I need to see a photo of this.
Look at it.
Can you pull up a photo?
It's that's where we are. Just look at his outfit.
Right.
It's either aerobics clothes.
Oh no.
And you can look like you're working out on a golf course. Or it's what Ryan is wearing.
Wait, let's zoom out a little bit and talk about let's first talk about men's fashion. Why was I brought up with this feeling that I'm not allowed to care about my clothes? Did you have that?
No.
I was brought up feeling I shouldn't actually put any attention into my outfit and I should just wear whatever. Where did I get that from?
Who knows? I know where I got mine away from that. There were these group of people who were, were influential in my life, like marketing dudes. And these guys that started the Lyricist Lounge, this rap thing where Biggie and all these people started their careers in New York. And they took me to Neiman Marcus in Jersey or something when I was living in New York. And they were we only wear 550s and up.
Whoa, what does that mean? The jeans?
$550 shoes.
What?
So if your shoes aren't, this is Prada days. This is when rappers are wearing Pradas, right? So
right.
If your shoes aren't worth $550, you shouldn't even have got them, you know?
That's insane.
And then there's, they're I lived in New York, I lived in Atlanta, and I think you have to care.
Right.
It's a big statement what you wear. You know what I mean? Whether you care about it or not, you're making a statement.
Yeah.
So if you dress, you know, hippie, zenned out, this, that, and the other, that's what... That's how you're going to get interacted with at Coffee Bean.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Or if just a suit, he'll get another response from a guy like you.
Right.
You know,
right,
like
right.
You're not even going to talk to the suit. The heavy guy, you might give him a little, what's up, bro?
It depends.
At Starbucks.
It depends if the suit has a check with my name on it.
And at Starbucks, he doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I do really, like having, you know, my teen years, like I was like, oh, I don't care about like, you know, clothing or whatever, or fashion or anything like that. And then to now come into it. And literally when I travel, I don't really spend money on anything. I don't buy anything other than clothes. I'll buy way more clothes than I should. You know, but I just,
that's cool.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, to me, it's like, it's the canvas, you know, it's exactly. Like each day, you know, you have like a Lego sculpture on your body.
That's my friends in Paris, they're like, you know, they wake up and they're like, today I'm going to go this style.
Whoa.
And it's like head to toe.
Whoa.
That style. Crush it.
Do you do that or what do you do?
I do that some.
Yeah.
Today I'm going like this style.
Today you're like low key, but also business.
Hobo chic.
So to give you an idea at home, you've got blue suede Vans. You've got maroon sweatpants that look like pants. I'm confused. They're very expensive, I feel like.
Well, for sure.
$550.
$550 and up. Malvin Golf socks.
We got Malvin Golf socks. And then we have a Malvin Golf crew neck sweatshirt.
With a polo underneath.
With a polo underneath.
And a pair of Garrett Lights somewhere.
Garrett Lights somewhere.
Yeah,
Garrett Lights. I can't do the Garrett Lights.
Oliver Peoples?
They look great on my fucking face, but when they smash on the ground, I experience death. Mm-hmm. And I can't do it.
$550 and up.
$550. I can't do it. I can't do it. So I like, what are the glasses I wear? I wear, you know, I'm not going to tell you what kind of glasses I wear. They didn't pay me to say it, but I like to glass $100 and below is actually how I do glasses, you know, but not Warby Parker's because those are like, do you like polarized lenses?
No.
I hate polarized lenses.
Yeah, I don't do that.
They fuck my shit up all the time.
Only when like deep sea fishing.
Do you do a lot of that?
I do.
You know, I'm not really into fishing like per se, but a lot of people say golf and fishing are very
deep
similar.
Sea fishing's pretty fun.
Yeah, because you're catching what, 300-pound tuna?
It's action. If you're catching action. Shit, it is action-packed afternoon or morning. You know, fishing in the creek over here, catching little fish, I'm not so into it. But that deep sea, you know, trolling and catching who knows what.
Right.
You're seeing the water explode.
Yeah. It's like a novel.
It's amazing. You're like pouring water on each other's heads while you're reeling this thing in for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Keeping like, it going.
That's like plumbing. That's like The Old Man and the Sea, my favorite book. Have you read that book?
Mm-mm.
Dude, I need to. You got to read it. You're going to write it down? I thought you were going to write it down. He just wrote it down. Did you write it down? Steven, what is Scott's job? Is Scott have a job? Okay, he's assistant. All right. He's sitting in the corner.
Taking notes.
If the lights were off, it would look like he was a prisoner. I'm sorry. There's a chair over here if you want. He's not allowed to sit at the table with Steven. Which is an unwritten rule. Oh, man. Yeah, but The Old Man in the Sea. You got it. Dude, it's a quick one, too. I hate reading. I don't even read contracts.
I've heard about it.
I just signed. I learned that today.
What happened to your mic, Jeff?
My mic went out
there. Oh, there you go. Has your mic been that low the whole time?
I thought it was higher before.
Have you been here the whole time?
Jeff. Jeff was on sabbatical for like a month. What happened, Jeff?
Yeah, you were traveling. You were at the Masters.
Where have you been? Jeff's my hype man.
I've been behind the scenes.
Jeff's my hype man. How many followers do I have right now, Jeff? I'm kidding. Don't say it.
30%.
Don't say it. It's going to change by the time you're... Jeff just went to the driving range of the day for the first time. He went to a Rancho, and I was thinking, you know, what would be fun is I was thinking me and Jeff or anybody else, we should grab some mics and go to the driving range with Jeff and see what the experience is like. Because, you know, he has the unique ability to, with virgin eyes, experience golf.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a title right there.
Yeah.
With virgin eyes.
Yeah, it's fun to go down there. I mean,
it's scary. Really, just face it. It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's you have to understand all the rules and the mechanics of everything, but once you get into it, you get into it.
Yeah.
So I hit about 80 golf balls. It was
80?
A lot of fun, yeah.
That's
have you
lot.
Been back?
No, I haven't been back yet. So it's like hard
Makes
to like,
sense.
You got to make the commitment.
I'm paying him.
Of course you haven't. Why would you?
Well, I mean,
it's too fucking
hard.
I don't
own any clubs, so I got
yeah,
to rent
all
a
of
club
the above.
For a few bucks.
And, a lot of, there's a lot blocking him from becoming a very
like,
avid
I could go
golfer
to a
and loving
court.
Golf like we do. There's a lot stopping him.
Yeah. You mean, are you going back to the original discussion?
Yeah.
Culturally?
Well, no, not culturally. It's, I mean, just,
you can, like,
like,
go to a basketball court. You're easy, you know, ball hoop.
You could at least you could at least get a rebound or two. Yeah.
But let's go back to you and I guess have a lot more in common than I thought, as far as, like, you know, because I only got into golf in the third phase of your example of 1, 2, and 3. I never played as a kid. I never worked in golf. I shunned it with a vehement, like, anger and resentment, even though it hadn't really done anything to me. I just didn't like it. Or at least what I thought it was. And then, I had gotten sober a while ago, and, like, I was looking, I don't know. I just, like, tried it. I mean, the story's obvious, but, like, I tried it, and then it literally became my, like, drug. Whose phone is on? Is that mine? Is that my phone? My phone was, I'm going to turn my phone off because it's really annoying. Anyway, I got addicted, and, you know, golf is a very addictive game. Go. You.
Ten. Yeah, like I said, I stopped playing golf for 10 years and then 20 years and then started playing, and after like 4 days, I was as addictive as I've ever been.
Why? Why is that?
Because it's impossible to do it. It's just nearly impossible to do it. And I think the emotional release that you get when you do a heroic thing is, it's very hard to match that in any other thing I've ever done in my life. So if I take, you know, if we're playing and we're gambling and it's coming into the last three holes, and if I have three birdies in a row, I leave on a high that's like way better than any other high I'm going to get from like anything right now, and or any drug at that, you know. It's like having a baby is like that level of like doing the impossible, which is birdie in the last three holes,
right,
for money, pressure. You know,
I think you actually did that.
Adrenaline.
You did, like, that against me.
I hope.
And I was just like, how the fuck did you? It literally birdied every hole. Is this like your stick?
No, this last couple holes, three holes, couple. Not all of them.
Right, it was two.
Yeah, and after I had three doubles on the front, you know,
just about to press, and you know you're going to take it.
That's
home.
The best feeling for me. And even just on the driving range, like by myself hitting balls at the back of a driving range, it's almost a similar feeling. Just when I hit it perfect,
right?
When I just pure any shot. It's just like, oh, I want to do that again. I want to do that again. It's like I hit a crack, you know?
Right, right. It is like I hit a crack. I wonder if there's a way to market it like that. Smoke crack.
You could do drug rehabs, drug and alcohol rehab facilities on golf courses, just basically like, dude, stop smoking crack.
Whoa.
Start doing this.
Well, I'm going to delete that part of the podcast. Yeah. That's fucking good.
It's good. I've been thinking about it for a long time.
You got to put that business plan together.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's called. You could call it a new addiction.
It's exactly.
Welcome to a new addiction.
You just got to switch the addiction, you know? And
your admission price is $250,000.
And you get, you know,
covered by insurance.
Sean Foley. Sean Foley will work on your swing.
Sean Foley will DJ the whole experience. You know, he's a big DJ.
That's great.
He grew up as a DJ.
I like him.
And then got into golf. He's a good guy. You know, I met him once. A year and a half later, I ran into him on a bus at a golf tournament. And he was like, hey, Eric. And I was like,
it sounded like a bus, like from downtown LA bus.
No, like in Speed with Sandra Bullock. No, it wasn't that bus. It was just, it was like a shuttle bus. It sounded way more interesting than it was. But you're a really good golfer, Stephen.
Thank you.
You have a handicap?
No.
Come on.
I just play even.
You don't play off scratch.
We'll play even.
That's a Hollywood handicap. How about the Hollywood handicapping system? Are you aware of this?
Mm-mm.
If you're famous,
they say they're way better.
If you're famous, you're always scratch.
You know about a 6 handicap? If someone says they're a 6,
what does it mean?
You're fucked. Because they're either a 12 or a 2, but you have no idea.
You know what my handicap is actually, Stephen?
6.
I'm a 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
12 or a 2.
Right now I'm playing to a 7, though, so that even works out more in my favor. You like to play in pro-ams? You get invited to a lot of pro-ams? You're a golf celebrity, right?
No.
No.
I haven't gotten invited to one.
Why not?
You
no,
fill
that's
the
bullshit.
Speed, you get all the seats.
Yeah.
I don't have any room.
Me and Stu.
Me and Stu don't get a spot.
Right. Stu.
No, but we're doing a Malvern Golf MM golf tournament.
Hit me with it.
Jägermeister presents 36 two-man teams, two men and women teams at Industry Hills, June 3rd.
I'll be there.
Kind of like an invitational. You're invited. But there's a great group of people.
If people are listening and they want to go, how do they go? I don't know.
It's full.
So far, that's attending.
Full.
Just
Eric.
More movie star quality. Steven's like, I don't know. Don't come. Don't come. Don't come.
Next year we're gonna do 144 teams. So
do you ever throw parties at your house? I've never been to your house.
My son's Luciano's turning 8. We're doing a big one. Only kids parties. You like, are I'm a totally creep. Invited.
Can I come?
Really? Come, yeah.
All right.
Big deal, dude.
When is it?
It's a big deal.
Is it the same day as the Jägermeister party?
No, it's like in May sometime.
All right.
May 18th or something.
Do you like to travel? I don't like.
Love
it. Where do you like to go?
I like to go golfing. Right.
Mostly like golf trips. Yeah.
Snowboard trips, golf trips, beach trips.
You just went somewhere rad, didn't you?
Montana.
Montana.
Beautiful.
And what was this? Just like a family trip, right?
Yellowstone Club, family trip. Stayed with some friends from Canada.
Did you bring the sticks?
Beautiful house. No, it's snowing.
Oh, that's right, because it's winter time right now. Yeah. There you go.
We were snowboarding, but you know, I went and played in Augusta. I went and played when I went to Orlando for the
You played Sage Valley.
Yeah.
How was that?
Amazing.
That looked like I followed that day, and it looked pretty debaucherous. Would be the word, maybe.
It's a good place. That's a really good place. But when I left Orlando, I went and played Medalist and those ones in West Palm.
Right.
So I like to go to good golf stuff.
Have you ever played overseas?
Bandon Dunes.
Bandon's right.
I've played in Asia.
That's a weird trip, huh? Where, in Tokyo or Japan?
In Manila. For like a week with my Erica's family.
What's going on in Manila?
My wife grew up in Beverly Hills, Bel Air area here. And then when she was like 10, they moved back to Manila. Her father's Filipino, Spanish Filipino, and her mom's white.
I always assumed she was Middle Eastern.
Yeah, she's a question. It's a definite.
Definitely not.
There's a few things she could be, right? But she is Filipino and.
No shit.
At least a quarter Filipino.
What's her maiden name?
Luciano.
Oh, the same name as your son. That's good.
Yeah, so
but Luciano's Italian. What's going on here?
No, Luciano's Spanish. Spanish Philippines. So the Spaniards are big in Philippines.
So it was like a Spanish colony in the Philippines?
They like took it over or something.
Fuck, they did. That's awesome.
And so anyway, I just read something that for $2,800 or $2,900 bucks, you get plane tickets, 10 nights lodging and 10 rounds of golf with 3 caddies.
Wait a minute.
Now in the Philippines.
Let's break this down.
Think of that.
$2,900 barely gets you to Japan.
Yes.
It's and you're going like farther.
A Disney World trip. You can't even...
Do you have a plane seat or is it like...
That's what I was thinking.
$2,900, 10 nights accommodation, 10 rounds of golf, and 3 caddies?
You might have 6 caddies. Depends on who you're playing.
Whatever it is.
The caddies are coming out in the Philippines.
That's an impossible deal. Like, when is it? What's the window?
I don't know.
Let's go.
I learned from...
Do you want to go, Steven? Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
I'll do that for sure.
Like a golf
10
trip?
10 nights like, you travel around
you
Manila.
Could make money on that deal. Like, think about it. You could actually make money on that deal just by like... I don't know. How could you make money on that deal?
Let's just go.
You know, actually, Jeff, do you want to go to the Philippines? I got a great deal for you.
Give me something to practice.
$7,000. You can go.
I'll pocket some of that.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. What's you're a great businessman. Tell me some of the business tips that you've learned, some great advice you've been given in your life.
One thing I learned when I was young, and I think it's been always been helpful, my dad showed me this like printed out some piece of paper type thing. So my dad grew up as a farmer, literally, in Virginia, right? Pigs, soybeans, wheat, corn, you know, massive land, hunting, horses.
Like 50 acres, 20 acres?
A lot. I don't know. It's like the biggest pork producer on the East Coast.
And whoa.
Then family relationships with Smithfield Pork, which is in Smithfield, Virginia, that do the hams, et cetera, da, da, da. But their farm is on the ocean. So there was also naval bases. So there were young kids coming in from all over the country to work it to their parents would be at the naval bases. So I got inspired by a lot of that shit. So like surfing and skateboarding is there and like all of that, you know, stuff. Pot, smoking pot early, like made me love golf too.
That
it was a perfect.
It's an important part of adolescence.
Yeah. And I kind of tied it with golf and the animals and all of those things. Right?
Wait, so as a kid, you just go out, look at animals, hit a white ball, and smoke weed?
Yeah, with a group of friends that were like great. 5-7 years older than me.
Right.
Because I got a job at a golf course when I was like 12.
Right.
These dudes are like 16, 18, playing with the old starter and the fucking guy that fixed the, you know, persimmons woods.
That sounds like a show to me.
It was really a great thing for me, actually, getting that job and getting addicted to golf at such a young age because now I can, I'm doing golf. But one of the things he gave me was, it was some billionaire, some guy grew up with no money, he became a millionaire, and then he blew all of his money and then he became a billionaire. And he wrote it as simply as this. It's like, anything you want to do in life, business, whatever, Most people fail because they don't line up every single little step that it's going to take to do what your goal is, right? You miss a few steps and then, you know, you're bankrupt or you give up on it or you fail or whatever, right? So somehow I read that thing and the guy became a millionaire, blew it all and became a billionaire just because he went through the same process. So it's like, if I want to get up and go get a cup of coffee right now, I have a lot of steps. Hmm. And if I miss one of them, I'm not going to get the coffee back to this table.
Sure.
Right. First of it is I have to stand up, you know, mm-hmm. and then I have to walk over there and so on and so forth. So I've always really believed in that. And like, if I'm someone who's 20 years old and starting the first business, it's like, just go ahead and start like an airline company or a car company or the next Holiday Inn, you know, a hotel chain. None of that is any harder than starting a podcast and getting, you know, right. It's the exact same amount of steps.
It's not that hard, folks.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that hard.
It's not.
It really isn't that hard if you think through all the steps.
Right.
Like, it's not hard to go get a cup of coffee and come back, but if I forget four steps, it's going to be fucking very hard.
Yeah.
It'll be a disaster, right? And I don't know. I think that that helped me a lot when I was young, and I don't even know who wrote it, but that opened my mind up enough. LSD is helpful.
LSD, man, that is a chapter in my life.
LSD is helpful. Like, believing that piece of paper I just said and LSD combined, you can probably start an airline company.
Tell me about your wildest trip. Just every detail. Come on. What time of day did you take the hit? Was
one
it
time
an
in,
eyedropper?
One time I was on Haight Street.
Oh, a little Easter, San Francisco. Okay.
On Easter morning. And this guy that used to tour with the Dead, gave me liquid acid and I took a couple drops of it when I was probably like 23.
Whoa. A couple drops of liquid acid is like 20 hits.
At 8 in the morning on Haight Street on Easter.
And had you had coffee yet?
No. There were these giant stained glass type thing. Right. And so I'm like laying there and the stained glass is just completely turning into angels. Amazing. And Jesus. Angels and Jesus. Sunday morning, like this is just happening. But you know, I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing that's ever happened in my life.
This is your first time?
No.
Okay.
Also, the first time I saw the Grateful Dead
amazing.
Was an amazing one. That was just nuts. Washington, D.C. Started like, took acid on the train heading in to RFK Stadium. And we're so excited after partying in a van all the way from Virginia Beach to Washington, D.C., which is like a 4-hour drive. No one asked what hotel we were at. So next thing you know, the show is on and we're out of our minds. And next thing you know, the show's ending and we have no idea where our hotel is at all. like it was like a, you know, Motel 6 or something.
Right.
So I knew it was near the highway, but we took a train in and the train had stopped.
Right.
So watching that, RFK Stadium is in like the hood of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So watching the hood come in to buy and sell and trade drugs with the hippies
like an ecosystem.
Late in the parking lot experience when everyone's leaving, that's what's happening.
Right.
But we were stuck there because we couldn't get out of there. And we were trying to get rides with people and hitchhiking with like hippies on top of hippies.
That was a
wild one, dude.
Were you a hippie?
More like red man hippie, you know, like skate and surf and like, you know,
what were you wearing?
Slayer.
What are you wearing on this particular day? I need a picture.
Like really baggy shorts.
Okay.
With a belt.
Like Janko shorts or
drawers.
Okay.
Skate brand.
Okay, cool.
Not Janko, drawers. Right?
Okay, got it. Actually, I don't know. What are drawers? I don't know what drawers are. I'm sorry. I lied.
It's It's an old skate brand that were like really baggy. Like snowboard and skateboard rather than like urban or.
So is it like the belt is cinched around your waist?
No, you just wear back then, whatever year that was.
Right.
Right. I'm
90s. You know,
yeah, like the skate fashion was like really, really big shorts.
Right.
Like even bigger than the rappers.
Like is it like Carhartt shorts kind of?
Kind of deal.
Okay, cool. Like crisscross maybe?
No.
I keep fucking this up.
Yeah, you're definitely I'll see heading a photo. In that direction. I'll see.
I'm trying to put my finger on it.
No, drawers, dub, DC.
Right.
Like skate. Right. And snowboard brands.
Did you carry a board with you?
Snowboard at the Grateful Dead Show?
A skateboard with the DC shoes.
No, not at the Grateful Dead Show.
No, that wouldn't really go well. No. I love that you post.
I'd lose it.
Yeah, on your stories, you do. You play a lot of music in the car. And I love that you respect the Grateful Dead.
Oh, my personal, right? It's Sing Along. Oh, is that your personal?
Yeah. It's not on the... Oh, right. The other one's a little bit less.
The other one's like less, you know.
Are you private? Is your personal account private? No. Fuck that.
Wide open. My kids were born on Instagram. I cut the cord on Instagram for Remington.
You should... Can you throw it up so I can see it?
It's too far to go back.
It's deep. It's
too far to go back.
If I go that deep in the feed and start liking
pics... Yeah, it's
going
to take me a long time to get back.
Is that awkward?
That'd be like... 4,000, 5,000 photos back.
So you post often, and you post, do you care? You just throw it up there.
Yeah.
I just love seeing what you look at on a golf course. You just look at some weird shit. It's
I made a
so
hole
different.
In one. How about this one? My dad's member guest golf tournament. I played as a kid, Country Club. So he's a member of a Country Club. I would play there rarely because he got me a job at a municipal golf course where I would play with all the caddies and other people who worked there. And that was my introduction into golf. So I played in like junior club championships there. I won those when I was young. And then fast forward like 35 years, I'm back at this Country Club playing in a member guest tournament. So the second hole or the third hole of the second day, we're already down like two strokes, right? We started on 15 and 18 is a par three. 185 yard hole, clubhouse and all this stuff.
And how old are you at the time?
This is like probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Okay.
So we're down two after two or whatever. So I'm a little upset already.
Right, right.
And then I see an osprey feeding its babies, like literally in a nest. So I, of course I space out and like walk over it. And then my dad sees me spacing out, so he puts on like a Jimi Hendrix song or something.
What's your dad like?
Oh, he's a fucking maniac.
Is he really?
He's the great. Yeah, he's great. He's great.
That answer is sufficient. That's
he's
all
just
I need.
A maniac.
I just need to know he's
in
also
the best
a maniac.
Way possible. He is a fucking maniac legend. Right. So I'm looking at these birds, you know, hippieing out, hear this music, whatever, walk up to the tee. All I'm thinking is like, yesterday you hit a 6-iron, you came up 10 yards short. If you just hit a 5-iron right now, you probably just go in. Because I just need 10 more yards, same swing. So baby draw, thinned it barely. Soon as I thinned it, I look over and the head pro is like, wow, that looks good. That looks really good. That looks really good. And then I look and I see like a big Lincoln SUV next to him. Okay. So I put these two together, you know, and then the...
Wait, what is the two together? I don't understand.
The hole in one will get you this car.
Oh.
So then I hear the osprey screaming, like literally an osprey, the same one I was looking at, now this thing screaming. And then I look back at the green and the girl's jumping up and down on the green.
No.
And I won a $60,000 car.
What?
Took my pro. I had to become pro to get the money. Gave the government 20 grand, my mom 20 grand, and my wife 20 grand. Out
amazing.
Of that little osprey given hole in one.
And you sold the car.
I'm assuming. Hey, took the cash, went pro.
You got rid of that Navigator.
I was not driving that to LA. I was not driving to LA.
I always think about I would sell the car. Always. I'm like, if I get home, I'm ditching this whip.
Ditch it. Done.
Because here's actually at the last prom I played in, it was a lease.
You get
a BMW
lease. This was
lease.
A good one.
I was like, I don't want to. I have a lease.
The dealership bought it back.
Amazing.
Their insurance paid the 60 grand, and then we just divvied up the money, 1/3 each.
Amazing.
Cars retain no value, so they're not good investments.
Jeff's my manager for investments.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what else, Steven? You got anything else? You got any questions for the world? I wish listeners could call in, but they can't.
Well,
so
I was wondering,
never mind.
What is
Jeff's a listener. Jeff's listening.
What is the experience of going into your store? You know, being in person and
good question.
You know, so many of us online shop now.
Sure. So the store is a putting green. It's a small boutique, curated properties and different products that we're selling in there. There's a simulator. You can hit balls, whatever. There's a beautiful.
Rory broke it.
Rory knocked the hole in it, two holes actually. But yeah, you can go hit balls and you can check it out and you can see like it's not rocket science what we're doing. It's very designed clean and simple. It's not, you know, stuffy and country club, but it's not like streetwear and graffiti. It's probably more fashion and more of about the experience of the place. There's a great stairs out front, which is a wonderful stoop. You know, you can hang out. Callaway is building right now a garden in the back called the Callaway Gardens where golf lives. And that will be...
Azaleas, maybe?
Jasmine. Ooh. Jasmine grows well.
Solid. Little maybe bougainvillea or no?
Jasmine, putting, lemonade, beer, iced tea, mint.
Well, potential ice, Arnold Palmer situation.
Ice, little spiked vodka. Yeah.
What do people buy most? What's your biggest seller?
Hats, gloves, polos, ball markers.
Hats are the bags. The Malbon golf hat or
shoe bags, the logo golf hat? Bags. All of it.
Yeah, really?
They buy the logos. Right. That's what they buy. They buy the buckets, the character logo.
Yeah.
His name's Buckets, and they buy that script logo.
Right.
We've done capsules with, you know, from like Linksoul and Jones and
right.
Seamus and all the different friends that we have. And we're also doing stuff with like Ben Hogan collection, Golden Bear collection, Nike.
Puma. What are you going to do with Hogan?
4 cashmere sweaters, a couple polos, a couple t-shirts, party around Riviera to celebrate Hogan's Alley.
Nice.
Next year.
That was not a famous hole, more infamous.
Yeah, it's just Hogan's Alley.
I mean, isn't that where am I incorrect where that's he made an 11?
I have no idea.
Well, what the fuck? We don't know our golf history.
Yeah, I don't
Maybe
know.
I'm thinking of Someone Rancho will. Park.
Yeah, Hogan's Alley, I believe it's like 3 holes that he always did really, really good on, and they caught like 14, 15, 16 or something.
Okay, but I think you're right.
Someone should DM us.
I think Hogan also made an 11 on Rancho.
Sure.
I think he pulled a little tin cup.
Jack Nicklaus, we're going to do something and launch a capsule and collection that comes out.
Have you met Jack?
No, but he's going to host going a to? Dinner party for us that you're Whoa. Invited to.
I am?
At his tournament in Ohio next summer.
Oh, Memorial. That's fantastic. Memorial. Wait, this summer or 2019?
Next summer.
Jeez. All right.
So we're out clear. And we're working all the way long.
That's crazy. Out. What kind of calendar do you use? Like Google Calendar?
My wife is my partner, you know? Hi, Erica.
I'm like a freak for calendars. I find calendars and maps like art.
You gave me the invitation very quickly.
I did, right? Yeah. I fucking zapped that thing to you.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah.
I mean, click accept. Dry erase calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use those in the office.
These are
dry
nice,
erase
right?
in the office. That's what I really look at the most myself. And then some stuff on my phone.
Yeah. How great was that calendar invite though, huh?
It's perfect.
All you had to do accept. Is you wake up in the morning, you're like, that's right, I'm doing that thing with Eric because he fucking paved the way for me and I got the location right here.
Bomb.
Do you use Google Maps or Waze?
For traffic?
Yeah.
Waze.
Whoa, really? That shocks me. You don't find Waze to be kind of annoying? I feel like Waze is
I kind of use both. Sometimes it's more convenient when someone texts you and you click it and it just goes to Google Maps. So I'll just use that.
I agree.
But sometimes I open up Waze if it's like on the way home where it's already stored.
You already know what you're doing as well. Like you kind of just looking for like a specific. Yeah.
If the traffic is bad, Google Maps. That's clutch.
Yeah. Well,
alternative routes on it.
My Waze story is like I was coming home from the west side, like west of the 405, like a Friday. I mean, it was a bad time to be in the car, you know? But it like got me off Sunset and took me on a side street. And I guess it did the same with 60 other people. And we were literally on the tiniest side street, blocked bumper to bumper for like, I shit you not, 1 hour. I didn't move for an hour and I was on like the tiniest street in the world. And then I was just like, never again, dude. Why would you ever get off? Anyway, that's it.
You have to also use common sense when following them. Sometimes it tells you on the highway. It'll say like get off the highway and then get back on the highway.
Right, right.
You know, it's like why are they telling me that already?
It's like the traffic is changing so quickly. They're like
doing that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It makes no sense. I'm just gonna stay in the fast lane. You know, and fight all the way over 9 and get off and come up and fight all the way back over. But it's telling you to do it every fucking 10 minutes.
It drives me so
crazy.
Going
down the 405. Why?
Do you have a favorite tour player?
It's
okay if you don't. I don't have an answer to the question either.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I like a bunch of people.
Who are you friends with the most, do you think? You're going to need like, what do you do? Who do you, yeah?
JJ Spawn.
Who's the fuck is that?
JJ Spawn.
I don't know who that is. Sounds like a comic book character.
No, I'm not really friends with any of the tour players like at this point.
What else? I mean, I feel like we're pretty good. Jeff, you got any questions? Steven, you got any questions?
Mm-mm.
No? No more questions, Your Honor?
Well, how can we learn more about...
Thank you. Our Instagram's at Malbon Golf, MalbonGolf. Our website's the same. We're at 800 North Fairfax. And
come by. Eric.
Come on by.
And can you also shop online?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Online is lit.
MalbonGolf.com.
Yes, sir.
A promo code, MalbonGolf.com/Eric. Promo code Eric.
10% off.
It's a 5% more if you use my name. But dude, I love the shop. I love the parties there. It's just like, it's a good vibe. Everybody loves golf, and I would say there's not any place like it that I know of where you can just show up, meet cool people, and just chill. And I love how you can spill out into the street in the summertime. You know, I look forward to it.
Good.
I look forward to do more.
Thank
more of these parties.
Let's do it.
Yeah. How much does it cost to have a party? I'll have one.
Free.
Free. Such an enigmatic character.
It's free. For you, it's free. Just let us know.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Have a good one. Jeff, bye-bye. You
thanks.
Too.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Jeff.
Nice to
go
meet
back
you
to
too.
The range.
A lot of fun.